Welcome to the Chick Foley Show.
What is up, Foley fam? We are back with a quickie edition of the Chick Foley Show. Me, Sheen Dog, and the whole family attended SmackDown Live last night in Memphis, so we're going to tell you guys all about that experience. But before we get into it, let me introduce the star of the show, Sheena. How you doing?
Doing well. I'm actually doing better than I typically am at this point when we're recording the show, because we're doing it like at what time is it, like 11:30 in the morning? So yeah, the sun
rare
is
lunchtime episode.
The sun is still out. I am wide awake. I haven't been I'm not exhausted. So yeah,
Brett's
feels
at
good.
A karate clinic, and we got Stella watching a movie. So.
Yeah.
We actually, recording before 9 o'clock, which is, it's probably a handful of times in the whole history of this podcast we've done this.
I honestly can't remember any times we've recorded during the day.
We've done a couple like short intros for like re-release episodes and stuff like that, but that's about it.
Feels good.
All right. So tell us, what is new on the farm? Got some big additions this week.
Oh yeah. We hatched out some babies. I can't remember if the last time we recorded, if we'd already hatched them out.
No, we hadn't. They were due.
Okay. Well, I knew we had them in the incubator, but yeah, we hatched out. So I put 17 eggs in the incubator, and 13 of those eggs hatched over, the course of last week. So super exciting. The kids were all into it. Then the incubator had me in a chokehold. Like the whole day when the chicks were hatching, I just could not stop watching. Like it was just, it's just really neat, dude. Seth had never seen a chick hatch before either. So,
yeah, you guys might actually hear some of it, some ambient noise if you hear it in the background. We're recording about maybe 9 feet away from the little brooder tub that we got the 13 chicks in. So, yeah, definitely have some wrestling inspired names. I think Stella already called Becky for one of them. So yeah, it's definitely a lot of fun having some new members of the faction here. Sheena, remind the listeners where they can find you on social media.
You can find me on Instagram at Chick Foley. Marco run the Twitter machine over at Chick Foley Show. Join us over on Facebook and all of our fun that we're having over there. Go to chickfoley.com. Join the Patreon. It's $2
a month.
And
you can't even get a McChicken for that anymore.
No, you really can't, dude. I ordered you a McDouble the other day and it was like $3.49. And I was like, God dang, dude. And that wasn't even a double cheeseburger. So it didn't even have the extra slice of cheese. So yeah, ridiculous, man. So yeah, cheaper than a freaking McDouble. Join the Patreon.
It's the best way to enjoy. It's really going to enhance your wrestling enjoyment. Mm-hmm. I guarantee you that. And it's a great way to find some hard to find figures. Speaking of which, make sure you use code Chick Foley at Ringside Collectibles, our presenting sponsor of this podcast. It'll save you 10% on all your purchases there. We're going to cover some new Ringside releases later on. Machine, you ready to get into it?
Yep.
All right, so last night, again, we attended SmackDown, the 8th consecutive sold-out episode of television for WWE. Just kind of give us some of your thoughts, Sheena, going to the event and just seeing that packed house at FedEx Forum.
So I've been to the FedEx Forum a couple times now before this, and we actually went to an episode of SmackDown. And, you know, obviously there was a lot of people there, but it just felt totally different. Like the city was just electric, you know, to play on words. But
it was in the build up to the Royal Rumble. So yeah. It was kind of like Roman, Sammy, KO had their deal going.
Yeah. So still cool. But yeah, this was just a totally different feel. It was packed house.
Traffic was different as soon as we got to downtown Memphis.
Traffic
was nuts, dude.
Yeah.
You could tell it was different from the moment we got there.
You knew it was going to be a sold out show, just wrestling shirts galore. I always love, like, this is just one of my favorite things about going to a live event is just seeing all the marks walking around with their merch and their signs, and you know, just the energy is really cool. So
yeah, we went to Ghost River Brewing Company, which if you're ever attending a live event in Memphis at the FedEx Forum, that's definitely your go-to spot. It's right next to the arena.
It's right next to the Beale Street sign. As soon as you turn on Beale Street, like yeah, it's right there,
it's right
you
there.
Know, at the entrance of
Beale
Street.
Awesome, awesome beer and really, really great food too. And they're wrestling inspired. Their wing menu is called the New Wing Order. So
yeah.
They're all about the wrestling, and they'll open up the back gate on their patio, so you can just literally hop right across the street and you're
the
there
arena.
At the arena. But yeah, it was cool. We sat right by the window, so we could see all the different fans walking by.
Yeah, it was cool. So we went over to the arena again, just like, you know, we never really had to stand in line when we've gone to the Grizzlies games or when we went to SmackDown before. But this time it was like, you know, packed at the entrances. The merch lines were just absolutely insane. Like as soon as you walked in, they had the huge merch counter there. And like, I mean, it was just like, you know, four people deep at every merch line. So Anyway, yeah, so we went to our seats, had excellent seats. We were right by the hard cam.
Couldn't be better. I mean, when she says right by the hard cam, literally, like...
you could reach over and touch the hard cam.
We were able to, like, you know, Google the different, models. You know, equipment and stuff that they were using on there, man. Like, we could see the name. Like, we were... Yeah, I could have knocked the hard cam over if I wanted to, man.
Yeah, speaking of which, just out of curiosity, during one of the commercial breaks, we Googled how much that camera cost. Just the camera, not the rig, not the setup, like none of the cables or any of that kind of stuff. Just the actual like camera box cost over $90,000, dude. Like it was
ridiculous.
Absolutely insane.
It didn't really look that high tech. It looked like, you know, I'm sure it was a crazy, you know, technical, amazing piece of equipment, but it looked like kind of just a standard big
ass
camera.
The box on Silicon Valley.
Yeah,
you know, like
exactly.
The box.
Yeah, but yeah, $90,000, man. So it was just really cool. I would, if you ever get the opportunity to set hard cam, I know it can be tricky getting those seats. It was awesome, dude. It was one of the best wrestling watching experiences I've had, strictly from, like, you know, the not judging anything on the quality of the show, but just like the perspective and everything. Because literally all the action was directed straight towards us, right? All the wrestlers,
the
facial expressions,
facing us while he was
the camera
singing.
Work, mm-hmm. Yeah, all of it. Like I've sat pretty much everywhere you can around a you know, around arena at a wrestling show. And I think that was definitely my favorite, man, being right there hard cam side.
For sure. So we had excellent seats. Seth went back up to the concessions after we got the kids settled in and everything. We took both kids with us. So, you know, we got them settled in, went and got us some concessions, and then
got some ice cream.
Yeah, the kids.
My family's fancy. Not just ice cream. They got gelato. They have a little gelato cart at FedEx.
So, shout out to FedEx for having a different array of snacks. And
yeah, Memphis definitely gets a bad rap, and a lot of it's deservedly so. It can be a pretty rough place, but downtown Beale Street's really, really nice. And FedEx Forum is an awesome venue to go to an event, man. Tons. One, they have really, really good options for the concessions and the food and stuff. And two, they have a ton of them, so the lines are never really long. Merch stand line, really wasn't no getting around that just because WWE's so red hot right now. But the concessions, I never waited in line longer than like a minute at the concession
stands. Yeah, lots of bathrooms. They're always clean. Like
it's a great place to go to a show.
It's a good place. You feel like you're going through TSA when you go walk through the doors, man. You're getting like a pat down and going through the metal detectors and sliding your shit in a bin through the little laser thing, or what's that thing called? X-ray?
Metal detector?
No, where you slide
the X-ray machine.
Yeah, the X-ray machine. So you know, other than that, though, once you get in, it's all good.
It's good, yeah. What did you think of seeing The Rock in person? It's first time we've seen The Rock since us personally, like with our own eyes, seeing The Rock since WrestleMania 31 in San Jose.
Yeah, it was... I mean, it was electrifying, man. I love him or hate him. I saw some feedback online. There was some... You know, people saying, oh, another 40-minute Rock promo that we didn't need. Dude, it
was... The crowd was in the palm of his hands.
The crowd was eating it up. They were so on fire for it. And it was entertaining. I loved it. I thought it was so funny. The stuff with Mama Rhodes was excellent. The concert was excellent.
What about the entrance,
the
dude?
Entrance
we got the re-debut of Hollywood Rock's
we
theme.
Got the Hollywood Rock theme. Everything about it was just on fire, dude. So, yeah, love it or hate it, dude. That place was packed to the ceiling, and it wouldn't have been packed to the ceiling if The Rock wasn't there. So.
And it was crazy. You know, last week he was out, or 2 weeks ago, talking about the, you know, the meth head Marys and the crackhead Karens in Phoenix, talking about the Hicks in Texas, man, and... It was all love.
He showed nothing
Memphis,
but love,
dude.
For Memphis. Yeah. Yeah.
Said he was back home, man. And Memphis was showing love for him, too, man. Like, they were, I mean, Rock was a baby face last night, as much crap as he was talking. I think it was really smart on WWE's part not bringing Cody out for a face-to-face. I was kind of waiting for it with the stuff that Rock was saying about his mom, you know. Like, you feel like, okay, Cody's got to respond to this as a baby face. I don't know if Cody's getting cheered, man. You know, we saw Cody came out in the dark match main event, and he was over like Rover. People love Cody.
He made sure to mention that he wasn't here during the beginning of the show.
Cody covered for himself. He said, I missed the start of the show, and he was asking the fans, you know, what The Rock was talking about. But I don't know, man. I feel like Cody probably would have got booed last night.
Oh,
man. The only time Rock got heat was when he started talking about John Morant, dude.
Yes, they booed him. Yeah, if you watched SmackDown last night, you saw he was clowning on Seth Rollins, and he called him son, and then he rhymed it with when Ja was waving his gun, and everybody just booed him. But, I mean, it was like, you know, kind of a funny boo. It wasn't a
hateful
boo.
I don't know, dude. So you're getting pretty fired up, dude, for me. You can feel the temperature rising for sure, man. Memphis loves John Morant, dude. You know, troubled NBA superstar, which – you know, I think it's kind of BS. I think the NBA has gone way overboard on punishing Ja and everything, dude. I think Ja's, you know,
The Rock said he did say, "I love you, Ja." I mean, yeah. he wasn't like taking a direct shot.
But
I mean,
if you're Ja Morant and you're seeing that, you got to feel good, dude, because that Memphis fan base embraced him, and they were not going to have anybody talking trash about Ja.
And I mean, The Rock mentioned you. I mean, how cool is that? You know what I mean?
Mentioned him. They put a picture of him on the Titantron, dude. Yeah, so the Rock concert was outstanding. You know, it was cool. New twist on an old favorite sort of segment. And then we get to the in-ring action, man. The match that really stood out for me, obviously Bayley and Dakota was really cool, but I thought Randy Orton and Grayson Waller's match was just awesome, dude. It was kind of a basic house show match, but dude, you talk about The Rock having the aura. Randy Orton also, dude. Like, he looked like a million bucks,
dude,
man.
He looks incredible. Like, and it's been a long time since we've seen Randy in person, too. So.
Yeah, so I think WrestleMania 33 was the last time we saw him in person. The last couple of WWE shows we've been at, he's either been on the opposite brand or he's been injured. But he's bigger than ever, in better shape than ever. Dude, the moves still look, I mean, he looks like he's 25 out there, man.
I know.
Power
he's
slams,
like the ageless
DDTs,
wonder.
And he's almost gotten, when I first got back into wrestling in 2014, Orton was kind of boring to me. I've grown to appreciate him a lot more over the years, but now he's gotten so good at working the crowd, man. Like, he was getting the crowd fired up. Like, dude, people were ready to explode by the time he hit those RKOs.
Yeah, we used to, when we first got back into wrestling, I remember referring to him as Randy Borton because it was just
had the slow walk to the
slow
ring.
Walk to the arena, just like so, like, you know, plodding. I don't know. It was just kind of like, you know, boring. And but no, now I love Randy Orton, man.
Yeah, we had two dark match main events after it went off. We had Rhea Ripley defending the Women's Heavyweight Championship against Natalya and Shayna Baszler in a triple threat match, which was cool. I think that was really just an excuse to get Rhea out there and let the fans see her.
And it was cool seeing Rhea because it was the dark match, so she didn't have all of her war paint on. She didn't have her makeup or anything on. Still, I mean, she's just absolutely stunningly beautiful without all the makeup and everything, but it was just cool seeing her wrestle without all that.
Yeah. And then we had the main event, Memphis Street Fight, Cody versus Drew McIntyre. This was awesome, man. And I thought it was really cool that they still had the pyro and everything for Drew and Cody. I thought when they announced it, it still would have been totally fine, but I thought we were getting like the house show presentation, but it was good, man. This was a big departure from the last time we went to SmackDown, which, like Sheena mentioned, was January 2023. The dark match main event on that one was the Street Profits versus the Viking Raiders. You know, no shade to any of those guys, but that ain't really holding a candle to the two matches that we got tonight. And I think it did a really good job of keeping the crowd energized all the way through the end of the show. Because, you know, people were excited to see Bayley go out there and do her thing against Dakota. But I think there was that extra energy and electricity in the air because you knew we were about to get Cody and
Drew in a
street
fight. They kicked off the show to let us know. And I mean, the crowd went wild when they said, you know, it was going to be Cody and Drew and then a Rhea match. So, yeah, everybody was super excited. Everybody hung around. I mean, the arena was still packed for the dark matches.
It was not too many empty seats at all, man. You want to tell them about our Cody Crybabies, their merch stand haul?
Oh, yeah. So, Seth went up, you know, Seth's our runner, dude. I try to keep the kids, you know, in their seats and, you know, safe and all that kind of stuff, right? And just entertained. And then Seth does all the running for snacks and, you know, merch and stuff like that. So he went up to the merch stand and Brett wanted a We Want Cody shirt, but they didn't have any in the youth size. So he found a different one, which is like, it was the
Claim Your Kingdom. It's got like the Nightmare logo and Pharaoh on there.
Yeah. So
nice shirt.
Nice Cody shirt.
And I think it's got a little bit more longevity than the We Want Cody. I feel like We Want Cody's just for WrestleMania season. Mm-hmm. And the other thing I was thinking is like, if, you know, if he's out of context wearing it, right? If he's just wearing it like to Walmart, like you just got a shirt on that just says
we want Cody.
It's like, what the heck? Whereas this just has like, you know, a design and some graphics. Yeah. Like it could be anything.
Like, oh, this little kid's patriotic.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And then Seth, you know, this was about what, like three quarters of the way through the show?
No, it was about halfway. This was during the LA Knight AJ Styles segment.
Okay. So yeah, he went up during that. And I mean, like we told you, the merch stand was packed. So Seth, there was a couple people in front of him and one of them got the like, second to last Cody buddy, and Seth's just thinking like the little like a wrestling buddy is what I mean, just in case you don't know. But he got up there and got the very last Cody wrestling buddy for
last
for
one
Brett,
they literally took it off the merch wall to hand it to me.
Yeah, so he got that, and it was the last Pharaoh too, right?
Yeah,
so
last
we got Sissy Stella the Pharaoh, and then we got Brett the wrestling buddy, and they were so excited, they were waving him the whole time.
Brett put his new shirt on at the event, you know. He couldn't wait to get home, put it on. So they were going hard for Cody.
And so there was a couple moments, you know, our little Brett, he's such a tender heart, right? Like, and so there was a couple moments where they were showing the WWE Universe cam, and Brett was waving his Cody.
He was dancing.
He really wanted to get on camera so bad, and they didn't show it. And so he was like,
sitting right next to hard cam. Probably hurt us on that, you know, because it'd be hard to shoot us without getting like all the equipment and stuff too.
True. Well, Oh yeah, true. Because we were right there.
And I don't know if that crane camera that they were doing on, I don't know if it even turned.
I don't even know if it turned. Yeah, it didn't turn toward us at all. But yeah, so he got all like sad about that. And then at the end, you know, Cody put Drew through a table, and there was a big like table, a slab of the table that Cody was like, you know, The Rock came out here and, you know, was talking about his belt, and I feel like I came out here empty handed. So I'm going to give a piece of this table, you know, to one of the loudest Cody fans, and everybody went crazy. And Brett was like cheering and waving. And then when he gave it to another little boy, Brett, he got tears in his eyes.
And in Cody's defense, Brett, you know, he was a little bit delusional because we were like 10th row up in the lower bowl, though. Yeah. We weren't on the floor. We had perfect seats for seeing it, not for being ringside. And yeah. I guess Brett thought that, you
Cody
know,
would like Cody walk was up
spot
through the
him up and hand it to a staffer or something to run it up.
Yeah. So he autographed it and gave like the big chunk of the table to a little boy that was sitting ringside. So hey,
Brett's had momentary sadness the last two wrestling shows, because at Revolution he got upset because he was really wanting to go get a picture with Sting, you know.
Oh,
he
yeah.
thought it was Sting's last match and we're never going to see Sting
well,
again.
And remember at NXT, Trick lost. He just knew Trick was going to win the match.
Yeah,
and
so
then
he said, Dad, why did we come all this way just to see Trick lose both matches?
Oh man, to be a young wrestling fan again and not to be so jaded.
Overall, it was great though. It's the third time I've been to SmackDown in the last three-ish years. We went November 2021. The episode where Roman won the crown from Xavier. And we went, like we said, January last year, this was by far.
I went September 2019.
Yeah, Sheena's been, four times. She went to one where I was out to see. This was by far the best SmackDown taping I've been to, man. One criticism we've always had, like comparing WWE to AEW, is during the commercial breaks, they typically just dim out the lights and will play some boring ads. They did a much better job keeping the fans engaged. They were showing like better video packages, like, you know, stuff that was relevant to the show, and then they were doing stuff with the crowd during
they had
the
like
the sign
cam, they had the WWE Universe cam that was going around.
They had like some trivia and stuff at some point. So I don't know if it was just a change in direction or if they've just been making kind of gentle tweaks along the way, but it was a miles better live experience.
Even just from like, from last January. Remember, we were sitting there with Hawk and
we were ready to go.
We were like ready to go by the end of the show.
Yeah, when we went last January, we had a decent time, but we were ready to go at the end of it. I
feel like it went fast this time.
They could have came out and announced another match after the Cody and Drew, and we would have been fired up for it. So, yeah, really good time.
So you have the unique perspective of seeing AEW and WWE within like the last couple of weeks. You had a pretty quick turnaround. So give me some insight on like what you saw as like perceivable differences between the two companies.
Really just the presentation is what sticks out a lot. You know, a lot of people like to point at the in-ring style, right? WWE's definitely a little bit more of a low risk, you know, I guess slower, probably be the best way to put it, style and ring, whereas AEW just like balls to the wall. But I think the real difference lies in the presentation.
Nobody came out in khakis and a t-shirt.
No. AEW definitely caters to their base, right? The hardcore wrestling fan. WWE is going broad. They're trying to reach everybody. Like the characters and just, you know, the look, the music, the way they carry themselves. I feel like you could take somebody, like we could take mom who's never watched wrestling. And I feel like by the time a wrestler's music hits and they get to the ring, she's going to have a decent feel for like what their character is, what they are, what they're trying to accomplish. Whereas AEW, it's just like wrestler after wrestler after wrestler. Some of them have really great presentation and there are unique folks in there. You know, you got your Orange Cassidy's, you got your Will Ospreys, people like that. But there's a ton of folks that are just, here comes another wrestler in AEW, which, and I just think, like, if you didn't know, I feel like you could be overwhelmed, right? I feel like you really got to be into the in-ring stuff, you know, the punch, kicks, suplexes, flips, all that stuff for AEW. So I think that's it. I think AEW, and I think that's probably the reason why you haven't seen a huge growth in their audience. I think that they've just solidified their base. I think they're holding what they got.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with that, man. And they are holding what they got. Like, I think the people that say it's in decline, that's been greatly exaggerated. If you actually look at their numbers, they're not in decline. They've just plateaued.
Yeah.
They're consistent. They're kind of right there where they're probably going to be at for the foreseeable future, unless they get something that really somehow, you know, breaks through. But it was really, really different. Like I said, WWE, the people that say WWE is for the casuals, I think you're 100% right. I think there's stuff there for the hardcore fans to love, But they're trying to get every eyeball possible, whereas AEW is trying to just lock in the hardcore fans.
Yeah, I actually had that experience. That September episode of SmackDown that I went to in 2019, you were out to see. And so I took my friends, LaFrieda and Greg, and they had never watched wrestling before, you know, but they're just down for whatever. So I was like, you know, hey, do you guys want to go to SmackDown with me? They went, and it was just like a, like, B-minus show, you know what I mean? Like, it was just
random weekly WWE TV.
Weekly WWE television. And they had so much fun. They just thought it was like the coolest thing. They asked if they wanted to stay and watch the 205 live taping. They were like, can we stay and watch these guys, you know? So yeah, you're exactly right. Like, I mean, they didn't know who anybody was, what any storylines were going on, and they still were just like locked in. So
I will say this, at the end of the day, regardless of how much we love it and how passionate we are, wrestling is for the kids.
Yeah.
And our son Brett turned into a pretty hardcore, pretty knowledgeable wrestling fan. He's had the privilege and pleasure of attending NXT Vengeance Day, AEW Revolution, and an episode of SmackDown on the road to WrestleMania within the last 3 months. And I asked him as we were leaving the arena last night, remember, SmackDown's fresh, dude. He still smells like SmackDown. Yeah. He's got a brand new...
He can still smell what The Rock is cooking.
Yeah, he's got a brand new Cody Rhodes t-shirt on, and he's carrying a Cody Rhodes wrestling buddy as I'm walking out with him on my shoulders. I said, which show did you like best? And without hesitation, he said Revolution. So yeah. I think that was heavily weighted because it was Sting's last match, you know, and that last match carried it for him. But he said without a doubt, Revolution was his favorite show so far.
Yeah, I remember the other day I sent you a picture of a tag team match that he was cooking, and it was all AEW talent. Yeah. And you were like, oh, take him to one AEW event.
So
man.
We got
he's
it.
Totally
yeah, I know the,
converted.
I know the tavern crew will be proud. We got a little smark in the making here, dude. So yeah, he's all about the AEW. But you know, all three of the shows we've been to recently have been great, man. Wrestling is just in a very, very good place
right
now.
It's on fire, man.
Yeah. All right. You ready to get into some figure talk?
Oh, yeah.
All right, it's time for the figure four, where we bring you guys the latest news from the wrestling figure world. I want to remind you, this segment and this entire podcast is brought to you by Ringside Collectibles. Use code Chick Foley to save 10% at Ringside. And we're going to start off with a live review of a brand new release, fresh in stock from Ringside, the Blood and Guts Brody King Darby Allin pack.
Yeah, this looks awesome. I mean, personally, we're not huge collectors of like the bloody figures. But if you are a, you know, completionist or you like these figures, the packaging is just so cool. I love the blood spatter. I mean, the bloody figures look cool. They're just not my particular cup of tea. But yeah,
check out the back of the box.
Yeah, the back of the box. Yeah, you got a brutal picture of Darby Allin just choking Brody King with a chain off the side of the, you know, the ring apron. So yeah, got the autographs on the back, got the date of the event and everything, Quake by the Lake.
If you are an AW completionist, that Sting San Diego Comic-Con exclusive from last year that came with the coffin, it goes with this match. Because this was actually, it says Last Man Standing, I think that's just like a That's So Jazzwares thing. This was actually from the casket match that Darby and Brody had that, you know, Sting was involved with. Sting came with that casket last year.
Yeah.
Incredible set, man. This would be, if you're an MOC or autograph guy, this would look sick autograph, dude. Imagine getting Brody and Darby to both sign that with like a gold paint pen.
Yeah.
Like basically just recreate those autographs from the back of the box on the front of the box would look just sick. I think this is by far the best Blood and Guts release so far.
Yeah, I think so too.
Just look at the Brody, you know, you get the faded white paint with the blood on top.
I was gonna say
that
it was such a nice touch just to have like the, you know, that like the faded kind of like ring worn paint. And even Darby's paint is all ring worn. Yeah. And
I love the screaming Darby head scan too. Mm-hmm. You got the skateboard.
I'm not a huge fan typically of screaming head scans, but yeah, these two look really good. And I mean, they're all bloody, so of course
they nailed it, man. Yeah. Like I said, when Jazzwares hits, they freaking hit, dude. And this set is incredible. I mean, look at the alternate hands, dude. You got the bloodstained knuckles and everything. Like, yeah, definitely check. Do not sleep on this set. I know, you know, the Blood and Guts have typically stood in stock for a little bit, and you can get decent prices on them whenever Ringside has a sale, but I don't know. I could see this one selling out, you know, especially Darby's got a ton of momentum coming off that that last match with Sting. And you got to figure House of Black's getting a push at some point. They're overdue. But yeah, really, really incredible set here.
Agreed.
All right, we'll do some quick hitters on some figure news. I don't know how well Sheena's been keeping up with it this week, so I got some stuff to just show her, and we can get some live reaction. So first off, next weekend, we're going to have Fanatics exclusive Funko Pop set of the Usos from those WrestleMania cool. last year.
Yeah, I like that. The all white, We the Ones, Bloodline Usos. I'm here. And, you know, they kind of look different, which is nice.
That's
you
what
know?
We said. You know, we got the black Usos that came out a while back, and it was funny because somehow Funko did a better job than Mattel did on these. Yeah. We got the Walmart exclusive Supreme Stinger.
Oh, that looks dope, dude.
Yeah. So you're going to get multiple head scans. He's got the singlet. Only thing I don't like on this, man.
What's this on the side? Is that a mask?
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
He recreated the old WCW trope of, you know, Sting and the Sting mask.
Yeah.
I don't love that coat, man. That coat looks very, very baggy. And I feel like at this point, dude, with Supremes and Ultimates, I don't want soft goods, man. Give me the molded. Give me the interchangeable arms. And that'd be something really unique because we've never gotten that with Sting before. But he's coming with like two or three t-shirts. So I think this is going to be a really great figure regardless. Definitely picking this one up. But yeah, I'm a fan. Shane?
Yeah, huge fan.
All right, not as big a fan of this one. So we saw renders of Unmatched Series 9 by Jazzwares. So this series is going to be the first AEW Jeff Hardy figure, Jamie Hayter, and then Blackpool Combat Club. I don't really see this lineup setting the world on fire. This looks like Peg Warmer Central. We're going to have Daniel Bryan with the khaki pants and the white t-shirt. The Mox looks pretty cool, but I feel like we already have like 8 Moxes very similar to that. Wheeler Yuta, you know, he had a Blood and Guts release last year, and then we got Claudio, Jamie, and Jeff Hardy.
Yeah, I mean, they're, again, no shade.
They're fine.
They're fine. Yeah, they're fine. That's a perfect way to say
but
it. They're fine.
As a set, I don't see people like counting down the days for Unmatched 9 to hit ringside. All right, the next ringside exclusive.
Wow.
This is a truly puzzling decision. I feel like once people have it in hand, they're going to be like, all right, this is a pretty cool figure, but we're getting Jerichohausen from when Chris Jericho teamed up with Danhausen on the Jericho Cruise last year. Like, I mean, dude, if you're questioning if Jericho still has the juice backstage at AEW, he definitely does. If this is what we're getting as a ringside exclusive, if you're a Danhausen completionist, which I know there are some seriously hardcore Danhausen fans out there, you're going to have this. Like I said, I know this got some eye rolls and some groans when it was revealed, but I got a feeling that once people get this, you know, all the ringside exclusive Jazzwares stuff have had incredible packaging and stuff. I think it's going to end up being a pretty cool figure.
Yeah. I mean, anytime you get something super niche like this, I think it's cool, dude. I love how it rounds out your collection.
All right. We saw the series 3 of the Ultimate Editions for the Monday Night War series. We got, or maybe the series 2, I can't remember, it's series 2 or series 3, but Ultimate Edition Mankind from when he won the World Championship with the help of Steve Austin. Again, similar to the Sting thing, man, I gotta be critical of the soft goods, dude. I don't love it, man. This is the first time I think they kind of had to do this because we've gotten so many Mankinds with the white molded shirt. I feel like they needed this to make it different, so I'll give them props for that, but I don't love how the soft goods shirt came out.
Yeah, there. Let me see the front. Let me just zoom in a little bit.
He's got even got the soft goods tie.
Yeah. I think it's fine. I'm not super offended by it. Obviously, it's not. It doesn't look like a button down. I mean, and Mick Foley always had ill fitted gear,
true.
So it's not like it's, you know, way out of character for him to just have like a baggy, oversized.
Yeah,
type
I think
shirt. It looks a little chintzy for an Ultimate Edition.
Yeah,
but
I don't know, man. Soft goods are just tough, dude. Like, there are some times where they're nice if it's like a simple leather jacket or you know, t-shirts. But yeah, I don't know, man. Something, I think I'd rather just stick with my elites.
Yeah, I like the soft goods tie, though. I mean, I think it's cool. You can take it off and choke somebody.
True.
You know?
This is figure of the year candidate. We're getting Ultimate Edition 1997.
Wow.
Eddie Guerrero,
Mercedes Moné will be
You know, we had the Eddie Guerrero and the Ruthless Aggression Ultimate Editions, which, you know, got a lot of criticisms for the body style and the part choices. He looked just, you know, looked huge, looked like the Incredible Hulk, Eddie Guerrero. This one looks, dude, this is one of those times where it looks like they just shrunk the guy down, man.
The face looks great.
Yeah, the face, the parts, this is about as good as it gets for an Ultimate Edition. As long as they can deliver on something that looks like this prototype, we are in for a treat. And I think this is going to be, again, one of the best figures of the year.
Yeah, agree.
We saw from Monday Night Wars, just the Elite Series, Series 3, we got The Rock, and they actually recreated the famous Rock, you know, eye-rolling GIF.
Yeah.
Yeah, with the head scan. So that's pretty neat and solid upgrade from the last time we got this figure was in that Kmart exclusive, to let you know how old it was. The Kmart exclusive 2-pack with Farouk back in 2016.
We need a fanny pack rock as a figure.
I feel like that's going to happen sooner rather than later, man. Now that's kayfabe now, you know, that's part of canon now that they showed it on screen last night at SmackDown. So yeah, I could totally see that being like in the Legends line. Mm-hmm. You know, they've been getting pretty funky with the Legends figures. We got these Walmart exclusive Young Bucks. This is when they were in their full heel phase. They had like the lampshades bandanas on the head. I think these are sick, man. I know people like critique because, you know, these aren't Supreme, so the arms can't come off. So, you know, it's got molded jacket arms, but we've got enough Young Bucks that I think these are awesome, dude, especially if you're just if you're MOC or if you're just displaying them on the shelf for like static display. I think it's the best figures that they've gotten from Jazzwares.
Yeah, I like anytime there's like all kinds of color and paint apps and everything. Like, I think that's so cool, dude, because we're so just accustomed to getting like black and white and red and blue. And, you know, dude, there's a lot of detail put in these, you know, in these figures. So
I really want to see we haven't gotten the definitive version of the Young Bucks in figure form yet from Jazzwares. They've had some good figures, but we haven't gotten like that one set of Young Bucks that, like, you know, is just going to be like
your classic Young Bucks life.
Yeah. I feel like now if you ask collectors, like, hey, what's like going to be you know, you only keep one set of Young Bucks, I feel like you're going to get like four or five different answers, you know. Mm-hmm. But I feel like maybe they're due like a Supreme 2-pack or something like that. Like the treatment the Lucha Brothers got.
Oh, yeah. That'd be cool.
We need it for the Bucks because they've been just such an important part. We're going to get Black Harlem Heat in Series 3 of the Monday Night Wars.
Nice. Looks good.
Yeah, we got the red ones way back in Elite 46, so it's been a long, long time. They're also going to have a chase of these in the blue. Those came out nice. And that's it for figure news. Sheen, do we got any listener mail?
Yep. All right, our first question comes in from Tony Barker. He says, bigger AEW signing, Ospreay, Okada, or Mercedes?
I think Mercedes by far. She has a hardcore... I wouldn't even say it's cult-like. It just is a cult, right? People like to say it's a cult-like following. No, she just has a cult following on social media. She's damn near, like, she's probably the closest thing we got to Taylor Swift in women's wrestling as far as just having diehard fans who would literally go to war for her. And I think she could potentially bring in some new eyes. You know, AEW overall, I think its ratings were around 800,000 on Wednesday night. But Mercedes segment to open it up was over 1 million. So she had 1 million viewers in her opening segment. Thinking about Ospreay and Okada, they're amazing, right? Okada's great. Ospreay's possibly the best in-ring wrestler in the world right now. Everybody that's into Ospreay and Okada is already watching AEW, though.
Right.
I think they're bringing very minimal new eyeballs to the product, whereas Mercedes Moné could totally bring in some new viewers.
Yeah, I agree. I don't think the ratings didn't increase at all. I don't think
for the overall show, they didn't. But if you look at they have it broke down. If you go to like WrestleNomics, you can see it. They have the ratings broke down by 15-minute intervals.
Oh, okay.
And the debut segment had, she brought in 1 million for hers and it dropped off precipitously after that.
Yeah.
Okada actually had the lowest ranked segment on the show. His show was down to like 620,000.
I know. And his online, I saw something that his, like Mercedes, she got like 700,000 YouTube hits and then he only got like, you know, 600 or 500,000, something like that.
Yeah. So. And I'm sure Okada has a ton of say.
Edge got
booking.
Like 7 million.
I'm sure Okada has a ton of say in his booking, but he's doing like upper mid card comedy stuff with the Bucks right now, which, you know, I thought you bring him in and give him almost the Roman Reigns treatment, but I don't know. It seems like they're positioning Ospreay as like the new big main eventer, and Okada is kind of just off in like Young Bucksville right now. So we'll see how it goes.
A good or a bad thing?
And I enjoyed him. I liked him coming in as a heel. I like that, but it seems like he's just kind of doing goofy stuff backstage. It's still early, though. We're only a couple weeks into it. Yeah, we'll see where it goes.
Well, speaking of that, babyface Sasha Mercedes, she's just better as a heel. I don't really buy into her babyface gimmick. It just doesn't do it for me. Like, and she was so grateful. And I guess you have to do that on your
debut. You know,
you're
getting cheered opening night.
Yeah,
and it was in Boston.
She's getting cheered. It was in Boston, you know.
I think if she went against Britt Baker, when Britt ever comes back, I think you would see... I think Mercedes would get booed.
Yeah, I hope she has a heel turn sooner rather than later because, I really appreciate her heel work much more. But, and, you know, they got rid of Cody, who was like their, you know, their signature crybaby. So now they got Sasha back to shed all the tears online.
What
so,
do you think? And it's been a lot of discourse online. Do you think this is ultimately going to work out? Or do you think we're going to see Sasha have a, or I can't get over it, dude. Mercedes.
I say Sasha too. Yeah.
Are we gonna see? Yeah, she should have just bought that name. Sasha Banks. That's another. Sasha Banks is just such a better name than Mercedes Monet.
Yeah, and the boss is way better than the CEO.
Yeah.
CEOs are having a bad moment right now, so I wouldn't want to. You know.
Do you see this working out, or do you see her having a lot of the same issues that she had in WWE with frustrations over how she's used?
Yep. I talked about this before. I think, and I said it on the debate when we were talking about it over at the Turnbuckle Tavern, I think she's going to have the CM Punk syndrome, dude, where she, you know, comes in, it's hot, but the first time she hits a little bit of adversity or something doesn't go her way, it's just going to start this, like, you know, this little burning ember, dude, that just continues to build and build and build until there's some sort of blow up, dude. And
yeah,
ultimately,
I've always said, man, I think the narrative that she was misused in WWE is just so overblown, dude. If you want to go like episode by episode, match by match, yeah, you can nitpick here and there where maybe she should have went over, or maybe she should have been presented slightly different. But dude, she was constantly winning championships. I feel in my mind she had a championship belt on every time.
And she was a part of all the historical moments, dude. Like her and Bianca main event at WrestleMania, dude.
Yeah.
Like
there have been five females in the history of WWE that main event WrestleMania. She's one of them, and she's still unhappy.
First women's Iron Woman match, dude.
And
like
she was women's tag team championship when she walked out. Like
I go into depth on this, and again, go not to shout out the debate, but yeah, shout out the debate. They're
Turnbuckle Tavern
debate over on the Turnbuckle Tavern podcast. I did an episode with them recently, and we talked about really dove into Sasha before her debut. So yeah, the misused thing, like, don't come at me with that, because WWE gave her everything, and there's women in the back that work just as hard as she does. And does all the things. Dude.
Look at Natty.
Yeah, exactly. And they're back there at catering. Meanwhile, she's, you know, on every billboard.
Always presented as a star.
Yeah, every kind of female merch that came out, Sasha had a part in it, dude. Like, no matter how obscure, whatever doll,
figures,
whatever figure, whatever freaking thing came out, Sasha was there. So
the other thing, while we're going in on Sasha, you know, she walked out in Norfolk, Virginia, dude, a city very near and dear to her heart. You know, that was May 2022. Right. That was that November SmackDown we went to that we talked about earlier, you know, 6 months earlier. It was Sasha, Roman Reigns, and Jeff Hardy were the three most over people of the night. That place erupted when Sasha came out. So I just know, I've always took it personal, because I know that there were little kids that day who were looking forward to seeing Sasha Banks on Raw that night.
For sure.
And then you find out the last second she's not going
to
be there.
Yeah, just because they didn't have time to plan their match. Like, what kind of BS response is that, dude? Like,
She's a down check for me, man. You know, I always root for AEW, so hopefully it works out, but I'm not going to be surprised at all when this, you know, blows up.
Yeah. Same. So anyway, hope it works out, but unlikely. Sam Rosenthal says, what era and company do you wish you could go back in time and watch live or go to events?
I'd probably go 97, 98 WWF. Just, you know, you got the best year WWF, and then, you know, that first year of the Attitude Era was really great too. And the stuff was just so compelling week to week. So that'd be my pick.
Yeah, I think Attitude Era for sure. I just think just the energy, it's just grungy and delinquent. And
it was a vibe.
It was a vibe. It was a total vibe. So I think I would definitely go back to the WWE Attitude Era. Brett Charo says, have you guys watched any of the A&E WWE documentaries? He said he watched one this week, and they're pretty well done. He enjoyed the Stone Cold and Booker T episodes.
Yeah, we watched season one. We were all in on that, watching it each Sunday, and we kind of fell off since then. There's only so many hours in the week, dude, to devote to wrestling content. So I have not watched it, man. If they throw them up on like Peacock or something, I definitely will check them out sometime down the road. But I enjoyed the ones we watched back in season one.
Speaking of Booker T, Brian Vermeer says, I just met Booker T and Charmel at a convention. They were amazing. Took time to talk and shake hands. Spent a good 15 minutes with them. Prices were reasonable. My second best interaction with wrestlers. What was your best interactions?
Hillbilly Jim.
Hillbilly Jim was the man. Yeah, he was so super
cool. Hooked
us
up with free photo op. Just because, you know, we're all from the same neck of the woods there in Kentucky. Hacksaw Jim Duggan was incredibly friendly. He was nice both times we met him. Brett was cool. Brett was cool. Very, very cool. Sting was cool.
Scott Hall was awesome.
Scott Hall was really cool.
He was
cool
super
too.
Just, yeah, super yeah, casual, super chill.
Having a conversation
chill.
With us. No rush or anything.
I will say somebody in the group, sorry, I can't remember who asked, but somebody in the group asked about WrestleCon. I think it was maybe James Kilka asked about WrestleCon. And that's where we met most all of these.
Yeah, WrestleCon's awesome.
WrestleCon is
just
awesome.
Just to walk around, dude. Even if you're not going to do any of the autographs or like photo ops, you're still seeing all these legends like in the flesh, and there's all kinds of memorabilia. Like I've heard that it's not been quite as good the last couple of years as it maybe had been prior, but
really?
I
like Not as good a quality.
I think stuff's gone. Not necessarily the quality people. I think prices have gone up, and I think a lot of it has to do with the venue. Also, you know, the time we went in California was a little bit weird because they had it at a hotel, and the thing was spread across like three different.
It was cool though because it was so unorganized. There was literally just wrestlers just like walking around.
Yeah, we like walked behind Rob Van Dam for like 5 minutes.
Yeah, and that's where we met Hillbilly Jim. He didn't know where he was supposed to be, and he stopped and talked to us. You know.
And then the other time we went was in like a super ritzy Orlando Convention Center. Mm-hmm. Because it can be kind of crowded, but yeah, I would definitely recommend going, man. Yeah. I don't think you're going to regret going.
No, it was, the vibe is super casual. If you ever get a chance to go to Starrcade, though, fuck that. Don't go.
Yeah, don't go to Starrcade.
Never go to Starrcade. I got lost. Sorry, I dropped my phone. You can book your own commentary team. This is from Zach Hertzler. You can book your own commentary team. Who would you choose and why?
I probably got to go with Jim Ross, dude. I'm probably going Jim Ross for my play-by-play. And I don't know. I'm sure there's probably some show where they were on together, but I always love Bobby Heenan on the color, dude. So I would go Jim Ross and Bobby Heenan. I don't know how well that would mix, but if you're like asking me my best play by play and my best color guy, that's my two.
Yeah, Bobby and Gorilla, they're awesome. I was thinking like not commentary people. Like if you could just pick not commentary, like
like just randoms.
Maybe not. Maybe that's not what he meant. But
yeah, I don't think that's what he meant.
Anyway, I was thinking like if you could take like anybody from wrestling and make them your commentary team. But I'm stupid. So Brett Shara, what do we think of the Punk reveal is going to be next week for Mattel Creations?
No, I think it's going to be the exact same model that we saw with Cody. Remember, Cody's first figure was a Mattel Creations made to order from his appearance at WrestleMania 38. I think we're going to see the same thing with CM Punk. It's going to be a made to order Ultimate Edition from his ill-fated Royal Rumble appearance.
He also says, what other figures would you guys want to see in the Vault ringside line? We need a straight edge Punk release.
Probably my most wanted re-release right now would be the ringside exclusive DX Shawn Michaels. I feel like that one's due.
Nice.
Shane, right, you got that anything? Wraps up. Any ringside exclusives?
No, that wraps up listener mail for us tonight.
All right. Remind the listeners where they can find tonight. It's the after the sun's still
the out. Afternoon. Yeah, the afternoon.
Remind the listeners where they can find you guys on social media.
You can find me on Instagram at Chick Foley, Marco running the Twitter machine over at Chick Foley Show. Join our Facebook fam and all the fun we're having over there at chickfoley.com. And then support our sponsors over at Ringside using the code Chick Foley for 10% off all of your purchases.
All right. Appreciate you guys tuning in. You know, continue to let us know what you want to hear us touch on as we get closer and closer to WrestleMania. It's just a great time to be a wrestling fan right now. Sheena, hit us with some closing thoughts and we'll get out of here.
My closing thoughts. I'm going to go ahead and mark down the date. I'm calling it right now. I think Roman is going to win at WrestleMania 40.